As many of you guys know and have heard updates of, Kurt Ostrom has been through some scary medical situations this summer, and a lot of us have been praying hard for him and have watched him struggle through that, and he's going to share a little bit of how God worked through that this summer.
So Jesse, when you were talking about if we don't feel comfortable doing something, that did not include me, I guess. Well, thanks, pal. Hi, everybody. As Jesse said, I'm Kurt Ostrom, and a lot of you know me. And Brandon, Donald, I just need to let you know, this may go a little bit longer than the last one, just because when I look out here and see all these people that meant so much to me, I'm going to do this a lot. So just, sorry, Donald, Brandon, Rod, just bear with me. It may take a while to get through this. But God is good all the time. So let me do my best to get through my story. June 14th, a couple of months ago, I was going in for just a regular doctor's visit. It was one of those doctor's visits that was supposed to go something like this. Well, Mr. Ostrom, you look perfectly healthy. In fact, you're the picture of health. I have nothing else to say. Please go home and have a nice day. Well, unfortunately, it didn't quite go like that. It went a little more like this. Mr. Ostrom, I think you have bronchitis. You have quite a fever going there. If I were you, I would take these antibiotics, go home this weekend, and just take it easy. So, naturally, when you get advice from a medical professional like that, I went home that weekend, got up bright and early Saturday morning, and helped my good friend Scott Simpson put a new floor in my house. That afternoon, I went outside and mowed the lawns. And then I did some sprinkler repair, probably because I didn't know how to mow the lawns very well, but I did some sprinkler repair. That night, I put some furniture together. The next morning, I got up early to play guitar in church. So, needless to say, my wife and my common sense were both on vacation that weekend. So the end result of all of this foolishness, bad decision-making on my part, was two trips to the ER, an ambulance ride. You know, they're not as much fun as you might think. Sure, they run the sirens and they run the lights. They get to go through all the red lights and drive real fast, but that's pretty much about it. So got in the ambulance, and then the end result of that was they checked me into the hospital for 2 weeks. Bronchitis became pneumonia, and they hit me with just about every antibiotic known to mankind, and they had things sticking in just about every part of my arms you can imagine. So this is where the part of my story gets a little weird and fuzzy, though. You know, sometimes we play that kind of mental game where we think about, you know, if they made a movie of my life story, who would they get to play me? Well, Channing Tatum's out. He's busy. Jake Gyllenhaal, I don't know. I think he's got another project going. Maybe George Clooney. He's a little closer in age. Well, for this particular part of my story, they pretty much could have gotten a pill bug or a bowl of Jell-O to play my part, because this is the part of the story where I just drifted in and out of consciousness, and other people kind of took up their roles. So they hit me with all these antibiotics. That pretty much took care of the pneumonia, but what ended up happening was the doctors took a good look at me, and there was a lot of things going on with me that they couldn't quite chalk up just to pneumonia. So, naturally being doctors, they ran a bunch of tests on me. And this included running a bunch of MRIs. And what happened was they looked at the MRIs and they said, Mr. Ostrom, there's something funny on your brainstem. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I don't mind something funny maybe showing up on my pinky, or maybe something funny between my toes that I stepped in, or something funny on my elbow. I don't know about something funny on my brainstem. I'm no doctor, but I think my brainstem's important. Even for me, it might be important. So the doctors were racking their brainstems, trying to figure out what the heck that thing was on my brainstem. First thing, of course, out the chute was, it might be a tumor. Well, needless to say, that kind of freaked out some people. You don't like to hear the T word bandied about. It gave my wife a few nights of sleeplessness. Well, they were able to, fortunately, kind of knock tumor out as one of the diagnoses. But they're still left with, what the heck is it? It's something on his brainstem. I don't know. What do you think it is, doctor? What do you think it is? I haven't had so many doctors sticking their heads in my hospital room. It would just make my head spin. And so they came up with, maybe it's multiple sclerosis. Well, it can't be multiple sclerosis. It only happened once. Maybe it's single sclerosis. I don't even know what that is. So while they're trying to figure all that out, it's still there. And I'm just slowly but surely kind of getting better. But there are still a few things we're kind of hanging around. My hearing was all kerflooey. I was still kind of numb in various parts of my body, but you know, I was good enough, and they sent me on my merry way home with that thing still on my brainstem. You know, when these kinds of things happen, God has an interesting way of focusing the mind on what's really important. Well, God's number one, so that was a good thing to focus on. Next is my wife. In Proverbs 31, it tells us that a wife of noble character is worth far more than rubies. Well, I can tell you right now, I would trade my wife for all the rubies in the world. And I'm sorry, because I don't say that enough to you, honey. I apologize. I have three amazing kids, Joel, Amanda, and Jonathan. I'm calling you out, Jonathan. And these kids not only have the gift of music in their hearts, but they have the love of Christ in their hearts. And they'd rather share the love of Christ in a homeless shelter than go on the rides at Disneyland. Wow. Those are some pretty cool kids. I'm doing pretty good, I guess, huh? Now, if amazing kids and an awesome wife weren't good enough, and by golly, don't you think they ought to be good enough for me? I have some pretty cool friends. A lot of them are right here, right now. They're all over the place here, including my amazing wave band from last year and the band this year, who I promise you someday you'll have your own name. But you guys are fantastic. These friends were there for me through every step of this hospital stay and when I got out of the hospital. They came to visit me, they cheered me up, they lifted me up, they brought great food to eat, thank you, Mary. They brought me toys, you can thank Dan for the Hot Wheels. They brought me movies to watch. I mean, they did so many things for me. I got to call out Donald Van Slyke right now and the tech team because they went through amazing steps so that I could actually watch the wave band and all of those young people putting on their show for the mission trip. I could watch it remotely from my hospital room. Thank you, Donald. That was absolutely amazing. And I cried a lot, let me tell you. You guys make me cry, so cut it out. And my friends would even put up with me when I would sing the occasional Carpenter's song in my sleep. So the reason I bring up these people is not just that I love them a lot, and I do love you guys a lot. But in addition to all of the things they were doing for me, they did something really significant for me. They prayed for me. Now James tells us that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. But Paul, quoting the Old Testament, reminds us in Romans 3:10 that there is no one righteous, not one. Well, wait a minute. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, but there's no one righteous. Well, then how does that work? Because I know their prayers worked. Well, fortunately, Paul gives us the answer just a few verses later by reminding us that this righteousness comes through faith in Christ for all who believe. So, we've got the righteousness of Christ covering up my lack of righteousness, shall we say. When you got Christ on your side, let me tell you, your prayers are powerful and effective. I bet you didn't think you were going to get the gospel out of me this morning, did you? Well, just like salvation itself, this little bit was free of charge. Can I get an amen? I think I got an amen coming somewhere. Can I get an amen? All right. So these people prayed, and God, as always, was faithful. God got me out of that hospital bed. He brought me home to my family. God took me from dragging around a walker to getting up and running every morning at 6 a.m. God let me play my guitar again. God let me be with amazing young musicians. God let me play baseball with my son, Jonathan. And if this thing on my brainstem comes back, goes somewhere, whatever ends up happening, you know what? God's going to walk me through that one too, all right? But in the words of Atticus Finch from my second favorite book, it's not time to worry yet. In To Kill a Mockingbird, my second favorite book, Miss Maudie tells Scout, you know, there's just some men who are so busy worrying about the next world, they've never learned how to live in this one. Well, clearly God's not ready for me in the next world. I think he's got a lot of work to do on me before I'm ready for the next world, let me tell you. So I better figure out what it is he wants me to do in this world. And he's not done with all of you. He's got plans for each and every one of you. And this brings me around full circle again to that prayer thing. Talk to God and listen to him. You don't have to make an appointment with him. You don't have to have fancy words for him. You don't have to have a to-do list of, God, I need all these things done for me. Just talk to him. He's always there to listen to you and to talk to you. He's still in the miracle business. Now, it doesn't have to be some sort of Lazarus, death-defying kind of miracle, because you know what? There are little miracles all over every day. You just have to see them. Philippians 4, 4 through 7, Paul reminds us, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt. This is what is one of the really cool things about being part of a community like this, is you get to pray for people and watch God work through their lives. And then you get to hear the stories of how God has been faithful to other people, and it just strengthens your own faith. So we're going to take some time now. And I know for some people this is uncomfortable. You don't have to share. But if there are some things that you want to talk about, that you want to say what God has done in your life, something you're thankful to God for, it could be really short and really quick, then we're going to take some time to do that now. And you can either come up to this microphone, or you can just stand up, just make sure to talk loudly enough so people can hear you. We're going to give it a few minutes. Okay, go.
My name is Christy Wright, and this is really weird for me to be up here because I'm really not a social type person, but
about Avery. Okay. Christy has some children, and one of them's name is Avery. He recently graduated from Coronado High School. And over the last number of years, and you're going to have to correct me because I'm going to go wrong here.
I'm going to be able to talk in a few minutes.
Okay, good. Well, don't take a few minutes. No. But Avery has had, they can't figure out what's going on with him. for the last number of years. They thought at one time was epilepsy, correct? And he'll have seizures and things like that. And so he's been in and out of the hospital so often. And it's taken its toll on him. It's taken its toll on his mom and the rest of the family. And this church has been praying for him for a long time. And been praying for you as well, Christy. And now I think you're okay to talk, aren't you? All right, let's go for it.
I'm going to have to step back in, but okay. We went through misdiagnosis after misdiagnosis, hospital stay after hospital stay, new doctors, new neurologists, new endocrine, new just whatever they thought that was wrong. He went from, oh, you have epilepsy, then he went to pseudo-seizures, and then every time he had a new seizure, it was like, oh, no, that's not what it is. Well, what is it? Well, we don't know. Okay, well, they basically, then you have, you know, he's diabetic, and now he's having seizures, he has celiac, he has thyroid, so he already had a number of issues to begin with. And then, through all this, then it was neuro was fighting with endo, which is the diabetes doctor, and then, so then you're like, oh, it's his blood sugars, oh, no, it's his brain, oh, no, it's epilepsy, oh, no, it's this, and then you're like, okay, so then basically they just finally said, we don't know what's wrong with him, bye, just have a nice day. So you go home, and you're like, okay, now what do you do? So we chart, and we chart, and we chart, and we watch, and we chart, and we wait for the next seizure, and we wait for the next seizure, hoping that it doesn't come, but it always does. So it's just been a really time for me, to really trust in God. There's been times where you're like, why? Why? What? Just can't we just find something? You go to the hospital, you talk to all these other families, and they're like, oh, well, you know, my daughter has cancer, and my daughter has this, or my son has this, and I'm like, and they're so upset, and I'm like, you know, you have a diagnosis. You know it's wrong. There's treatment for your child. Not saying that it's good or bad, but at least they have a chance to do something. But recently, when he had his last seizure, was about a month ago, and we got another new neurologist who said, finally, because I was basically like saying it's really hard to be an advocate when they won't listen to you. So that's been a really tough thing. School doesn't listen to you. The hospital isn't listening to you. The doctors don't listen to you. You know, you're with your child 24 hours a day, every single day. I'm like, he's going to have a seizure in 24 hours, and they send you home, and he's back in ICU in 12 hours. So it's really been a really long struggle. So I was late today, and what he was actually talking about when he was first started having seizures, and he was in a coma for 3.5 weeks, and didn't know if he was going to live, he was going to die. They didn't know what was wrong. They were like, do you want him to be an organ donor? You know, he might come out of it completely brain damaged. And through all of those little things, when he's talking about miracles, it's true. Because every single time there was a hand movement or an eye blink or something like that, that's a miracle. People don't really think of it like that, but it is. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who's prayed for us, and that God is just miraculous, because my son, oh, I was just going to say, we went to another neurologist, so we actually have another diagnosis, and hopefully this is the correct one, and he's on treatment, and he's doing better. Not perfect, not great, but we'll take it. So we're still, it's only been a month, but I just want to say, this God is just so great. It's been like the most scariest, hardest thing that I've ever had to do in my life. But it's been the coolest, because you can see God working right there. Right with him every single day, with our family every single day. And you, when you get to see it like that, you can't take it for granted. And you know that it's real. And it's true. And if anybody just is wondering, I'm here to tell you that he is here, and it is true, and it is great and wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Michelle. And I also, my favorite book is the book of James, and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask, and it will be given to you. And I have God moments all the time where I will cry out to God, or I'll ask God to reveal himself to me or reveal something in me, and he does. And sometimes it's quickly, and sometimes it's not so quickly. And one of the ironic things lately is somebody told me that every time you find a penny or a coin, which I find on the floor at my house all the time, and a lot of times some of you may know I've been battling depression and anxiety, and the penny or the coin that I find on the ground is usually at a time when I'm at my lowest of low. And when I pick up that coin, I remember that it's in God I trust, and that that is the sweetest reminder to me that that's the most important thing that I can do in all my trials and tribulations that God said I'm going to have. So next time you guys find a penny, know that it's God, and in God we all trust, and I thank you for praying for me. I really appreciate the prayer request card. I'll push that. Please use it. People do pray for you. I pray for you. I read those prayer requests, and I believe in the power of prayer. Thank you.
Good morning or good afternoon. I don't know. Good morning, I guess. Good morning. Most or some of you might know me. My name is John Dina, and I have a beautiful wife, Victoria, and a great son, Marino. It's very true what this gentleman said over here about having a significant other as priceless or jewel. Sometimes I think we forget how grateful our significant other is, can be to us, whether we get sidetracked by our work, whether we get sidetracked by things we do in our everyday lives, whether it's being sidetracked and not doing activities as a family anymore. Every little bit helps. I'm a strong believer in reading the scriptures, and I know for a fact that God is always there. I know that He's always watching, no matter how bad things get or how hard life may change, or no matter what happens, He's always having His hand out for us. And I know for a fact that He wants all of us to reach back. He wants us to be together. And He doesn't want people to fall apart. I'm grateful to be here amongst you guys. I've made some great friends here. And I'm sure I'll continue making great friends. This is a scripture that is strong to me in the Bible's first chapter of Jeremiah. Verse 4 says that, I knew thee when you were in your mother's womb. God knows us better than ourselves, regardless of what we may or may not do. He's there to help us. Let's not forget that He's there for us, and we need to be there for one another. Amen.
Hi, I'm Erin. I'm the daughter of John and Annette Williams, and I'll get emotional too, but I've been coming here for about a year, maybe off and on. My parents were baptized here, and they were trying to get me to come here, and I always had better things to do. But I already did my bike ride, and I did my run and everything to make sure that I was here this morning. There are a couple of things that I wanted to share with you. First of all, my life is not perfect. I don't want it to be. I want to be able to handle things that are happening to me. And my parents are so awesome for encouraging me to come here. Because I don't know all of you guys, but I really look forward to your hugs. There's a couple of you that hug me like really strong, and I need that. I'm alone most of the time, so I need that. My mom always sends me emails at work with prayers of the day. And Mom, you don't realize how much that means to me. Jesse, your music is awesome.
I'm a musician myself, and this past year I have not been able to even touch my piano or sing because it's just too emotional for me. And this is like, it's such a healing thing for me to come here and be able to sing along with you guys. And I also get to see my niece and nephew when I come here, so it's just really a family thing for me. And I just wanted to tell any of you that are new or you've been here forever that just your presence gives me a sense of peace. I'm not quite sure I know how to speak to God directly yet, but he talks to me through my parents, and he talks to me through your music, and just the comfort that I feel coming here. So I look forward to being baptized one day here. And thanks. And I just wanted to thank you, Mom and Dad, because there's this passage that I really love, and I don't know the whole thing, but it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is unending, love endures all. And I'm really counting on that every day. So thank you guys for your time.
I'm sure many of you have wonderful stories like that, and we would love to hear them, and you can share them with people around you. Don't wait until we do this to share them. They're really important to our own faith as well.